disco.
This ain't no country club neither.
This is RBA.
Howdy ho, everybody.
Welcome, welcome
to another exciting episode of
Oh La La in the Dungeon.
Season 2.
Episode 16. Sweet 16.
We have an exciting guest for you guys today that we'll introduce shortly. But before we do that, Liz, take it away.
We'll be, of course, going over our hot topic, perhaps a celebrity sighting or two here in RBA.
I'm a hustler, baby.
Yeah. Then we'll have our interview. Big Daddy, I believe you will
drop it on us.
And today I'm going to be talking about some fun facts. It's a furry marsupial called the opossum.
Oh, yeah, which is apparently like our state
our
animal.
Unofficial what? Richmond mascot.
Hilarious.
We got some upcoming events.
The band of the week saw last week.
Yep. And then some restaurants of the week that we've been hitting up. And, your general good time.
And some shout outs.
Yeah.
And anyway,
shall we proceed? Who are we having here? Wilt thou introduce him, please?
Oh, yes. On today's episode, we have Kevin Sheffield, a local bartender celebrity who recently opened Smoke and Barrel in the former space of the Dugout, Step Down Raw Bar, The White Dog, and its longest tenant, Lady Nolans, who I really did love that place, but this place is even better.
I love the White Dog.
The space has been around since the 70s, which is groovy. And I had the pleasure of meeting Kevin at a Thai restaurant. What was it called again?
Shout out Thai Top 10.
Yeah. It was so good. The food was great. But anywho, Kevin is most well known for his drink slinging skills at New York Deli. He's been in the bartending business for 10 years now at places like Cha-Cha's. Oh, I never got to go. Aww. I've heard lots of things. F.W. Sullivan's and Lady Nolan's. He won Bartender of the Year for RVA 6 years in a row. Woo. 2016 to 2021, which is quite the accomplishment. And he's in the Hall of Fame for Style Weekly.
Holy
for
shit.
He loves Richmond. He loves, obviously, he's wearing a VCU.
Let's go Rams. Yeah, Rams in the house. We've gotten some spiders up in here, but we finally got it right.
And he also loves the Flying Squirrels. And I do too. What's his name? Nutsy? I love that.
Yeah, what about Natasha?
That's the correct pronunciation. Nutsy.
Thank you.
But everyone, welcome Kevin.
Woo!
Thanks for coming
on.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
I make a mean Jack and Coke.
Nice.
Take you up on that. Hot topic.
Oh, yes. So this is just more like us daydreaming, but we have had a celebrity here. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Pharrell is in town shooting a movie, and he was, or a documentary, I guess.
About his life, right?
Yes.
No, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
It's a musical.
Okay. Pharrell, he's doing a real movie, I guess, and he was spotted at Kroger's Spot.
That's cool.
The other day. So
I saw
thought
it
on
Instagram.
Cool, yeah, to bring that up. And then, Matt, did you learn anything else about it?
Actually, I did. There's an opportunity to cast for the movie. There's lots of roles open. So, you know, you actors and actresses out there, now's your opportunity.
All right, I'm filling out. I'm taking my headshots after this.
I wonder if we'll see him around.
Random, but I was an extra for the Loving movie.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
Also Homeland.
Oh my God, Matt was an extra for Homeland too.
Homeland too.
It's the highlight of his life.
Me too. Like I got paid 2 years later, and a check came in for $200 from
Holy
Hollywood.
Shit.
Wow,
that's
cool.
Yeah, it took 2 years, but it was fun.
Mine was not for $200, but
it was free.
I got the experience of walking in the rain around the Times Dispatch building as a background extra, and that was my big scene where you could see me going around the corner of a building.
Yeah. What did you do?
So they had us. Here's the fucked up part. I live in the fan. During the time, and it was like 2017, I believe, and literally I live a block away from my restaurant now. They had me drive to City Stadium. They bust us from City Stadium to Monument. I would just walk to Monument, but that's where like where hair and makeup and all the free snacks,
yeah.
Of course. They literally
give
you
VIP
everything.
Treatment.
They give you everything.
The craft services.
They give you Coca-Cola, the you know, they even had Barks Root Beer. Dude, I felt like
a
celebrity.
Oh, my God.
And no bullshit. It was fun. It's a good experience, but it's like, dude, I could just walk to the monument, you know? But this house was beautiful, over 100 years old, nice couple. They were in their 80s. And, of course, I was a waiter.
Oh, naturally. Typecast. No.
I forget what season it was and all that, but you can barely see me. And, like, I was there for, I don't know how the payment was, but I was literally there from 11 a.m. all the way to about 10 p.m.
Wow. I feel like that's a good check for being an extra.
Yeah, $200, yeah.
Yeah, did you get that much?
No, I think I got maybe like $50.
And he had to take a PTO day, so there was that.
But it was cool to see all the actors and actresses.
Well, yeah, your scene was like right near where, I don't know if y'all actually watched Homeland, but Claire Danes, like her character's, is it her sister who gets taken to court or is it them? They're trying to get the daughter, I guess, or whatever. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. Anyway, but he's like right out the courthouse, which is actually the Times Dispatch offices. Yeah. So that was cool. He made me like watch that episode several times. Like, wait, there's me.
Like, I think I can see myself.
I think that's my back walking down the street right there.
Your husband's back. Awesome because I'm worse to my girlfriend. I literally... we'll watch YouTube videos of me skateboarding when I was sponsored like over a decade ago. When I'm drunk, I'm like, babe, look at this 360 flip down this stair set.
Yeah. Well, I'm like,
oh, I didn't know that you did that.
Yeah.
I'll pull up our wedding video and I'm like, let's watch that over and over.
Let's do it.
Even though it was years ago.
So back to Pharrell, do you know any more details about the movie other than
that? Well, I know it's
Isn't it a documentary, kind of? Not a documentary, no, but something about his life.
I think it's like quasi-fictionalized about his life. Like there's going to be some, you know, open to interpretation. Because nowadays, if it's like not 100% a biographical thing, people will come for you, of course. So,
is it all going to be filmed in Richmond, do you know?
It's going to be in Richmond and in Virginia Beach.
And for how long are they filming this? Like the whole summer?
The whole summer. It's going to be probably about 6 months, I think.
I mean, it's pretty cool we get so many things filmed here. Like, I know my friend, she got the chance to meet Tom Hanks because her boyfriend at the time painted all the sets for Lincoln when they filmed that here. Yeah. So she met, like, pretty much everyone who was in Lincoln because the wrap party was at, I believe it was at City Bar. This was, like, obviously, what, 6 or 7 years ago
now?
Yeah,
it was years ago.
But I thought it'd be fun if we take a second and ponder if we could think of all of our like who or what would be your dream like person to come film here or like interact with. That would be fun.
Our guest should go first.
Yes. If you can think of something quickly.
So dead, definitely Rodney Dangerfield. He was so hilarious. Yep, I love him and Walter Matthau.
So great, yeah.
Oh yeah. But all the old school
Walter
guys.
Walter Matthau, yep.
And Jack Lemmon, if I could. Oh my God. Grumpier Old Men's my favorite.
Yes, I was about to say you must love Grumpy Old Men. I love that one.
But I guess not newer because he is pushing 50. Ryan Reynolds. I mean that dude's
he's
fun. Oh my God, is he really pushing 50?
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah. God,
he has a young spirit.
He's like 48, and I mean, obviously, he's with Blake Lively.
Yeah,
that lucky duck.
I was gonna say they're on like kid 4 or 5 now, I believe. Yeah. Crazy. She's very
she's
fertile.
Like I think she's like 15 years younger than him, so it works. You know,
I guess. Fertile Myrtle.
Big Daddy, what she's like?
Oh, well, I've always loved Mila Kunis. You know,
of course. I knew you were gonna fucking say that.
If she happened to, you know, want to film in Richmond, I wouldn't be opposed.
Oh,
to that.
Edgar Hall pass, of course. That's fine. Two can play that game.
Lucky.
Olivia.
I love Breaking Bad, and I'm a huge fan of Bryan Cranston. Not like sexually.
You don't want to scissor him.
But like as an artist and an actor, and also I love him in Malcolm in the Middle, and the fact that he can play this funny ass dad and then this crazy drug dealer who reminds me of my dad, which is weird, the personality. I just think he's brilliant and I would love to meet him. I wish he would come.
Ooh. Yes, he'd be good.
Elizabeth.
Well, I mean, I have to go against Big Daddy and go with my hall pass. Then I would go ape shit if Jason Momoa showed up here.
Me too.
So I'd be stalking his ass every step of the way.
I think most women would.
Yeah.
And probably men too. We're already probably.
Yeah.
You know, I was having a prediction of who you were going to say, and Jason Momoa was it.
But if I went back to my roots, I would say I would love Brad Pitt to like come here and do some like art. He's really into like construction and architecture, so he could like come redo our house and work like with
redoing
with a hammer top. And shit. He needs to take his shirt off. Maybe his pants fall off at some point.
Oh my god!
Is he still?
It's
married?
It's a cruel, cruel summer. It's hot out there. You know, you gotta shed your layers.
Is he a married man?
He is not. He's a free agent, baby.
That's my woman crush, Jennifer Aniston. I don't know how I would have married her many moons ago.
Well, she's like a 20. Free agent too. I mean, no.
Really?
All right. Well, let's get into the meat of this interview, shall we? Now that we know who we want to hook up with, who might come.
No one knows about me.
No.
Adam Driver. Cough, cough. Okay. So, Kevin, are you from Richmond? If not, what brought you here?
Yes, ma'am. I'm from Richmond. Well, outskirts of Richmond, about, 10 to 15 minutes in Mechanicsville in Hanover County.
Out in the sticks?
Out in the sticks, yee.
Cool.
Where'd you go to elementary school? I've been subbing in Hanover.
Nice. I went to Cold Harbor Elementary.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite ones to sub at.
I love it. Love it.
Where'd you go to high school?
So it's been changed now, but I went to middle school in Stonewall Jackson Middle School, Lee Davis High School, and now it's called Mechanicsville Mustangs, which is awesome because it was between Mechanicsville Mustangs or Twin River Mighty Minnows.
Ugh.
I am so glad. That sounds like a minor league team, right? Like, I'm all for
Mighty
that.
Mighty Minnows.
Yeah, that sounds like a little league
that
team,
sounds, yeah,
actually.
Like single A, like, not even what? Double A.
Yeah.
The Flying Squirrels took, it took a while, but I'm like, dude, I love the Flying Squirrels,
I'm nuts about
them. That's crazy. Actually,
it's
crazy.
They pay me in peanuts.
My stepdad was, he was a principal before you were there. You're younger. But he was the assistant principal at Stonewall for years.
What?
Do you know Mr. Valentino? Or
yeah,
was he retired?
Course.
Okay. So I know Mr. Valentino. Like, they are really good friends. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Small world.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so when did you start bartending, and did you want to make a career out of it?
So, fun fact, I literally loved going to Cha-Cha's. My best friend now, business partner, Joe Haddad, he was like the man, like bartending. And I was working at Brown's Distributing, telling him how much I hate my life. He goes, dude, you know everybody, every house party we threw back in the day, you knew everybody from all over Richmond, because I played pretty much every sport in the book. And I would travel. I would go out my way for a house party, right? And he goes, dude, bring these people. Because back in the day at Cha-Cha's, they were like staff invite. He goes, make sure they say Joe Haddad. I'm like, I got you. So I made sure that he was like, got all the great shifts. And I was like, you know what, man? I really want to bartend. And I watched the movie Cocktail and the flaring. And being a sponsor skateboarder back in the day, like, I love tricks and stuff. So I'm like, dude, how much do you make? He goes, dude, I just cleared well over $1,000 for three shifts. I'm like, dude, I'm barely making
Holy
that. I'm working like six,
wow, that's a lot.
Six
that's
days, insane. You know, working at Brown's Distributing. I was
especially
like,
as a man, I feel like women are, what are the women?
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. Like, right. Like, and that's like part of the nightlife that, you know, you enjoy. You're like, oh man, I'm around my best friends, the music, the lights, the DJs, the karaoke, whatever. And so I went to Bartending Academy. To a lot of people, like, boo, like, you're a nerd, whatever.
Where's the Bartending Academy?
So it used to be on West Broad Street, and I ended up like later on teaching there because I did want to make it a career. I'm like, you know what? I really am kind of tired of working this, you know, it's not really even a 9-to-5. It was literally like a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. job. And at first it was going to be just part-time, whatever. But then I made the money. I was like, okay, I'm quitting this job. I'm going to be a bartender. And Cha-Cha has hired me. And so I was there, and Society, the old Lucky Buddha.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was there from 2014 to 2018, like right at January. And then I didn't really want to make it a career, but it kind of turned into one because I fell in love with it. And I love bringing people together for a good time. So, yeah.
God, what was I going to ask? Because it went with that. How did you meet your partners?
So I met Joe in high school and Jordan right outside of high school. Pretty much house parties, you know, in our, you know, later teens, early 20s. And
so they all were from Mechanicsville too, or?
So Jordan was from Mechanicsville. He went to Atlee High School. Okay. And then Joe went to Verona High School, and his family owns her dad's lake out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I knew the last name was familiar.
Yeah. So he was the first of us to kind of get in the industry, and me and Jordan were like, dude, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is great. Like, we're getting, you know, drunk and getting paid for it. This is
that
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, getting
something Liz and I should do.
Yeah, getting drunk, getting paid for it. Like, this is
that's something badass. I can't do at my job. I know. Right now.
I know. Well, that back in the day, like, especially we all have structure now. We're like, you know, young professionals now, but like right. back when you're like in your early 20s and one of the, you know, bar owners, bar managers, like, hey, have a drink to get the edge off. You're like, hell yeah. This is water, ABC right. agents. I'm kidding. Please don't quit. But no, like, we grew up and we basically, they left the industry to pursue other things. Jordan actually owns a locksmith company with Joe called Keystar Logic. They're awesome. They're up and down the East Coast, especially Virginia and North Carolina. Joe is a carrier for, he's actually the vice president or president. I forget which. I think he just got promoted to president of for health carrier. So
oh, wow.
It's awesome for him. And, that's awesome. He has a beautiful family and fun story about both these guys. So Joe was a bar back and met his wife, Dania. She was also a bartender at Cha-Cha's. They met. All right. Fell in love.
And a Cha-Cha's love story. Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah, yeah.
And she was actually a dancer for VCU. Oh, yeah. So that was awesome. And they have a beautiful son named Oliver. Oh. Call him Ollie. He's more famous than any of us. He has like 21,000 followers
oh,
on Instagram.
Damn.
He's
like a little
kid. Yeah, he's a little kid. He's a little kid model.
Him next.
Yeah. And the beautiful story about Jordan is me and Jordan had this thing back in like 2015 called Beer Dates. So I was at Cha-Cha's, and then I was Sunday Funday in the fan a lot. And I became friends with F.W. Sullivan's and Lady Nolan's owner and GM. And they're like, dude, what are you doing during the week? I'm like, I want to bartend up here. So Tuesdays, I started at Lady Nolan's. Wednesdays, you know, at Sullivan's. And so during that time period, Jordan and me were hanging out nonstop. And Jordan goes, yo, I got this beer date with this girl named Kirsten. I was like, yeah, man, I know Kirsten. She's awesome. He goes, yeah, I'm thinking about taking her to your bar when you're working. I'm like, do it, dude. So he did. And then I don't think it's 9 months, but I'm going to say about a year and a half later, here comes his first kid.
Oh,
and now they have three kids.
Cool.
Yeah, they have three kids now. First date was Lady Nolan's. I was their bartender. So when I was talking to Joe about this, Jordan was like, dude, I want in. I was like, hell yeah, it's only right. It's only right.
I was going to say, how did you parlay like bartending into actually like getting a place, you know?
Yeah. So basically with bartending, you have a lot of different things that go into it. You either make it a career or either you kind of just part time or either you make it a career, but then you go down the wrong path kind of thing.
Right.
And for me, I was a workaholic more than an alcoholic. So I'm friends with a bunch of young professionals and stuff like that. So they're like, Kevin, you need an IRA. Kevin, you need this. You need that. I'm like, yes, sir. So I pretty much did it the right way. Got a financial advisor and, you know, had my head on straight and was around with the right people. And as far as the owner thing goes, when the pandemic happened, F.W. Sullivan's unfortunately went out of business.
Right.
But they kept Lady Nolan's open. They're the same owners. And they were open for 2 years after the pandemic. And I was at New York Deli. And I chose there because it just felt like a Sullivan's, but, you know, more nostalgic. 19, right. It's been open forever, you know, Carytown, and they promised me a rooftop.
I know, I did not realize how long it had been open, because...
Yeah, we went to the rooftop for the
really?
First time ever.
Nice.
Like, it was really cold, though, so we walked up, and we were like, it's too cold.
But it was fun, but we were definitely the craziest people up there. We had to come back down and be crazy downstairs.
Yeah.
I do have one question about... sorry, I'm getting over pneumonia, everybody. how did you come up with the concept of Smoke and Barrel? Was that all you, or was it with your group?
So that goes back to when I went to New York Deli. They promised me a rooftop. They delivered. And then Lady Nolan's 2 years later, unfortunately, went out of business. Right. And they were like, we know it's two apartments above it. We would love to buy the building. I said, okay. So I got them in touch with the right guy. His name is Barry. And Demetrius and Barry did a deal. And so when they did the deal, he goes, Kevin, do you want Lady Nolan's to be yours and be full circle? I know you just bought a house and you have equity now. I'm like, ha, ha, ha.
That is so lucky.
I was like, nah, I don't really want to do it, to be honest with you. I wanted to do something out of Mechanicsville because I love my hometown and there's not much out there. Right. And this is before Great American Ranch came. So you had Gus's or Sports Page.
I love Gus's.
Me too. Oh my God. Shout out Gus's Pizza.
Hell yeah.
Gus's is great.
Gus's is
karaoke.
My favorite. Yeah. Oh, karaoke
We've
on Saturday?
Time, yeah.
That's my spot, man. Yeah. I
love
we'll
have to go sometimes.
Yeah. I love the family. I love everything about a Gus's. That's my childhood, you know.
Yep.
So long story short, I turned it down. The two other girls that got it fell through, and then Demetrius looks at me and goes, one more time, do you want this? I said, no, I want to do something out of Mechanicsville, man. He goes, come on. I was like, all right. So I hit up Joe, and Joe was like, all about it. Let's go see the building, how much, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. And it was in rough shape, obviously. Like, Lady Nolan's is our favorite dive bar, but it needed a lot of work. But we kept it a dive bar. And obviously, it's the longest running in that place for a reason, right? Right. We had Jack Lauterbach.
Great location.
Yeah, we had, oh my God, great bartenders like Jack Lauterbach, Heather Dixon, Kyle Williams, to name a few.
Yeah, I used to listen to Jack on, he used to do Jack and Melissa in the morning. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I used
to listen to that all the time. My stepdad is actually, going back to my stepdad, they're friends.
He's so funny.
Yeah, and he met his wife there. That was their first date. So it's so sentimental, and his best friend Art, he met his wife there, and Art's a good friend of mine as well, and I think Lady Nolan's and Sullivan's, we had such a special like staff, and we loved Richmond. A lot of us are from Richmond. So we wanted, and we were very social and outgoing, so we wanted people to feel like they were at home, like their home bar, you know. And that's what Melissa Chase would always call it. And
like Joe their Amato. Cheers.
Yeah, their cheers, right? Yep. And we're their bartenders, right? We ask about how their day goes, and we actually are genuine about it. We're not like, ah, I hate this job.
Damn it.
Damn it. I don't know if you've ever seen Waiting, but
yeah.
I love that freaking movie. We love that movie.
Love
so
it.
Good.
Love
so
it.
So accurate.
Like that server that goes ape shit in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, she goes, God. I fucking hate these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That's Liz.
Yeah. I know. That would be me.
She goes, hey, what can I do for you? Would y'all like a Sunday? Yeah. No, we're not like that. We're straight up. But yeah, I think we wanted, speaking back to the question, we saw the fan, and there's so many dives, and we love dive bars. I love getting drunk at a dive bar, you know?
So do we. Oh,
yeah,
my
yeah.
God.
And that's where you want to get drunk at, right? Yeah. But we knew that we were getting older, and we saw Lady Nolan's as like, wow, what can we do? We love different places like the Jasper, Emerald Lounge, you know, Cooper's Tavern, the list goes on, Chard, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And we were like, we don't want to be like them, though, but we want to have more of an elevated feel, kind of like their concepts. So we wanted to have our own identity. And when I bartended there, I would always sneak off to craft cocktail. Like, so basically back in the day on Thursdays, my Thursdays in 2018 to 2020 before the pandemic looked like I had about 10 to 12 friends over. We'd pregame at my house, go to Sully's, go to D5, whatever, the normal stuff.
Right.
And then I'd be like, there'd be like drama between boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm like, I'm gonna sneak off to a cocktail bar, get an old fashioned.
Yeah.
And I kept looking at Lady Nolan's even when I was there. I was like, man, this would be perfect for like a speakeasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we don't want it to be a speakeasy necessarily, but we're like, let's do craft cocktails. And my GM, Ricky, shout out to her, man. She is a whiz kid when it comes to craft cocktails. She
the blonde?
Nah, she's redhead.
Okay, never mind.
And she's not Irish, believe it or not. I don't know if she is or not, but
crazy.
No, she's awesome. She's me and her actually got drunk at Sidewalk.
Wait, did she go to VCU?
I think I know
Ricky. Yeah, that would be weird. He's a redhead.
You don't lose that number, but
I know, seriously.
me and her, when we got it, we were like, we want Ricky. And she was a GM at New York Deli forever. And me and her would go off to Jasper and other cocktail bars and just, you know, have a drink. And she's such, you know, oh man, a big part of Smoke and Barrel, because the cocktail menu is mainly her, a little bit of me, obviously with the smoked old fashions and stuff like that. She's a huge tequila girl, but we got drunk at Sidewalk and she has this book and she goes, Kevin, what about this? What about this? I'm like, dude, I love it. Let's do it. And then since we named it Smoking Barrel, we named it Smoking Barrel because we were like, we don't want it to be Cajun anymore. Because people would be like, oh, this doesn't taste like New Orleans food. And we're like, come on, dude, we're in Richmond. Right. Really? Like, it's good for what it is. But we didn't want to be judged too much. So we're like, all right, we are in the South. So let's do Southern food and let's do it well. And that's how Andy Jones popped up. And we love old fashioned. So barrel part of this, I know it's noun and noun. Everybody's like, yeah, noun and noun. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, it's so hard to name a bar, number one. Number two,
I think we're it's in the a cool South. Name.
I love it.
We want to branch out to Mechanicsville. So the name of Smoking Barrel would fit perfectly,
of
in
course,
my opinion.
Yeah.
Out there or Palatine, wherever, yep. You know.
It's like Southern, but classy.
Classy,
but like,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's like
a little trashy.
It's so
no,
good.
I'm kidding.
Well, I'm picturing like, you know, like, you're Southern gentleman having a cigar, so, sipping on an old fashioned.
This might be obvious, but do you have a smoked old fashioned?
Yeah.
Yep, yep. We have a smoked old fashioned with Woodford rye, cherry
rye,
wood.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And it's $7.
I prefer a rye old
hour.
Fashioned.
I can't believe it.
Oh, well,
it.
That leads me to my next. Sorry, I'm cutting in on this, but tell us about your happy hour.
It's amazing, by the way. Yes. I went on Monday.
Thank you, thank you. We just redid it because obviously, like, this is only the first month, so we're figuring out the kinks, and we completely gutted the building, and we wanted it to be elevated, but we didn't want to be too like white tablecloth, right? And we didn't want to be too divey. We want to be that in between that the fan really doesn't have much of.
You nailed it.
Thank you, thank you. So cherry wood chips for the smoke. So you get so much like smell and. Like the orange peel around it, like the citrus, it just goes together. Woodford rye is my favorite old fashioned. So we use that for the house.
I love that because a lot of people don't realize the first old fashions were rye, not whiskey, which I'm like a big stickler for history. And I love rye in my old fashioned.
It's a little,
I'm a nerd.
It's a little spicier, right?
Yeah, it's a little spicier. And the cool part about Woodford is that was one of the very few women that distilled whiskey.
Oh, I've never heard that.
What?
That's really interesting.
That's awesome. So we've been trying to do the bourbon trail for years.
Yeah.
The pandemic kept.
Oh, dude, I was supposed to go to Thailand with my buddy. Speaking of which,
man.
Of Thai Top 10. Shout out to him.
Damn it.
Yeah, I want to ride an elephant. I want to ride an elephant.
I want to, too.
Someday.
That's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
For Shizm. So what kind of things do you feel like are on the horizon? Are you guys going to be like, you know, changing seasonally the menu, or what's your vision for that?
So our vision was to, as much as we want to keep it elevated, we also don't want people, like my head chef, Andy Jones, said, we don't want people to have to look up, like, what is this in
right.
the menu? What does this yeah. mean? Like, fish cargo, what is this? With like, you know, we want to keep it like, just fresh. And so we are going to do specials. We do every different week with PFG, Performance Food Groups, we do a different fish. And the reason why we do that is every fish of the week is caught like right OBX or Virginia Beach, and we get it in. We don't want to keep the same fish for a month.
Good to know. Yeah. Oh my.
No frozen shit.
No frozen shit.
Yeah, I've seen enough episodes of Hell's Kitchen where they just keep these disgusting things in the freezer forever.
Yeah.
And that goes back to like with late, like everybody goes, Kevin, like we heard you're opening in like 6 months or like 3 months and then 6 months. And the reason for that is people don't realize like any building in Richmond, not just Lady Dawn's, like it could be sidewalk, it could be any dive bar. It's going to take some time to do what you envision, right? And then permits happen. And then first time doing this, right? Learning. Nobody knows any, you know, like, what am I trying to say here? I'm not a know-it-all.
You have
my
to learn to run or walk before you can run.
Exactly, right?
Learn while you
right?
go.
And that's what I told my staff, like Joe, Jordan, and myself, especially Joe and Jordan, they're the business side, especially with me, but I'm bartending. Bartender side, I know craft cocktails. Ricky, she's awesome with managing, and Andy in the kitchen. So like us five, like I try to kind of compare it to like the NBA, like the Chicago Bulls. If everybody plays their role, that's where how championships are won.
Right.
AKA this is going to be dynamite and nobody's going to, you know, complain. So,
well, there's already so much buzz about you guys. Like,
yeah.
I mean, every time I look on social media, I see a post about you guys in a positive light, not like, you guys posting, even, like, you know, see, what I mean?
Even, like, before you opened, I was, like, hearing, yeah. like, I seeing articles written about you guys. Like, I was, and then I came in, and
I know, I can't wait. Right. Olivia and I are going on Sunday. Yeah. If anyone wants to come see us. And
the service was really good, too. Like, the hostess, which I thought was kind of cool, because it's such a small space, but you still have a hostess to greet you when you come in. Yes. The bartenders were great. Everyone was pretty. Oh, my God. All the bartenders were so pretty. They're all blonde that day. I was fit in.
Oh, yeah. Is there a theme?
I was going to ask you, what does it take to be a successful bartender? Because you were voted number one bartender in Richmond for so long.
I think if I was in any other city, I definitely wouldn't be voted that. And I tell that to anybody. I'm very humble and very modest when I say that, because a lot of it goes to knowing people, right? So I call winning Bartender of the Year as like homecoming king, right? And that goes back to like house party days. Like, I hung out in the West End, hung out in the South Side, hung out, you know, in Hanover, New Kent even. So, like, I was friends with a lot of different groups through sports, skateboarding, hockey, and that helped me. And just being like what my parents raised me to be, like a good human being. And the only time you look down on somebody is if you're helping them up. And I truly believe in that, because you don't know what people are going through, and they come to the bar for a lot of different reasons. A lot of people come to the bar for celebration, whether it's a birthday or, you know, I just, you know, got a new job, whatever. Right. And then you got people that, oh,
just got paid.
Self-medication.
The
flip side.
Aww. The flip side is somebody just died. Mm-hmm. I just lost my job. And you don't know.
Nobody loves me.
Yeah. And just one compliment goes so far, you know. And I even had three people through my bartending career that have told me, if it weren't for you, I probably would have taken my life. Wow. And that's so deep and dark, I know, but it's so
actually quite a compliment, you know.
It's a compliment in so many different ways. It's like, whoa, man. Because people just want to be heard. They want to be listened to. So
for sure.
You guys are like therapists too.
Yeah. That's when I thought it was funny. Like, people are like, oh, what's your real job? I'm like, hey, therapy.
You're like, that'll be a copay, please. Yeah.
I truly do believe that a lot of people need to be in the service industry for at least, especially like a busy bar or whatever, for a month. And then I want you to tell me if it's a real job or not.
Oh my God, yes.
Because if it's like a daytime chill, like, not knocking, I love chain restaurants. I go to Applebee's all the time. Shout out Applebee's. But it's not like we're going to a daytime, I guess, Red Lobster now. They're going out of business.
Oh my God, they're going out of business. Wait, I know, what? I knew this. Cheddar biscuits. Oh my God, I was trying not to break it to her until we were alone.
They're closing most of the stores?
Most of the stores,
like,
I heard.
400 stores.
And I love cheddar biscuits, man.
After my last experience,
we can still make them at home, guys.
We can. But it's not like, I understand, like, certain people's logic on real job, blah, blah, blah. I get that, but it's not like popping open a beer and giving it to you, and then that's all we do.
It's such a shitty thing to say to someone.
Also,
like, in general, right? If you're trying to,
you don't fucking know.
Yeah, most people's jobs don't have any relevancy to my life, whatever.
When I did restaurant work, like, restaurant work is not for me, and it's because it is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, it's not for the weak of heart. I would get back home and cry every night. It was so hard for me personally, because just disappointing people. You have to be like at your best behavior, and you cannot slip, and it's so hard.
Absolutely,
that's why I stayed in the kitchen.
And it's a lot of physical labor too. Like, it's physically hard. It's mentally hard. Like,
oh yeah, I'm 65 years old right now, and I'm 32. So I feel you.
That's hilarious. Well, let's make it a little lighter here. Tell me any really fun or favorite story of your fan days. I love the fan, people. That used to be my stomping ground, so come on.
Still is.
Me too. And that's why I wanted to bring the fan back. And people are like, what do you mean bring the fan back? Like, people are like 50-50 with it.
There used to be so many right there, in a row. Yeah.
Starlight, Three Monkeys. Like, I mean, I know Three Monkeys is still there. Yeah. Thank God. And
I know, but now that... God, what Love Shack's going? I'm like, what do we know? Is anything going in there yet?
I don't know yet.
You word on the street?
I don't know about that yet. I do know that one of the owners across the street, the old Sullivan's, actually part owner, he actually bought the building, and he's going to come up with a concept called Brickwood Barbecue.
Ooh,
so we're excited to have him as a neighbor. We've been kind of like, you know, talking back and forth about concepts, and he really loved our concept. So it's going to be very similar but different, you know. So I'm excited for him. And he said, you're part of the reason why I wanted to do it. So I said, man, that's an honor. Having a former boss tell me, let's bring the fan back.
Yeah.
You know? So we're trying to bring the fan back. What we mean by that is in a positive aspect. Because for a little while, I know Scott's Edition is the thing. I get it, you know? So we're excited for, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that used to be like, I don't think people, like, I don't know.
I'm not from here.
Like, literally, you would just go from one place to the other, and it would be, like, all the same people, like.
Yeah, you bar hop. And that's what I loved about the fan when I lived there for 8 years. Sunday Fun Day was the thing, man. I'd go from, literally, we'd start at Sullivan's, Lady Nolan's, then hop to, like, Social 52, Three Monkeys, and then you're like, okay, I forgot. It's industry night, half off for me. I'm going to District 5. And then I'd always end the night at City Dogs. That's my, that's my spot.
City Dogs, yep.
And my Monday night spot was Sidewalk, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, and also you had that little offshoot where, like, Buddies and, God, what was the other one?
You got Curbside and Metro.
Curbside, yeah. Metro, oh, my God. Metro
Thursday
that used to
night
be my
me.
Jam. Oh, my God. I can taste their meatloaf right now as you're saying that. Ugh.
So is Social 52 still open?
Yeah, Social 52 is still open.
They keep revamping stuff.
They keep revamping. They keep killing it, and I'm proud of them because they've been open since 2013, and as y'all well know, unless you're like fine dining or you're known for something, it's very hard for a restaurant slash bar fan to stay open even 5 years, so much less
especially
shout
the
out
pandemic.
To them. Yeah,
oh my God, I can't believe they've been open that long.
Yeah, shout
yeah,
out
they've been around a long time for restaurant years.
Yeah.
Well, what was the place that used to be next door though that was
Bamboo?
Like,
Bamboo's an institution.
Well, yeah, Bamboo, that's my Aunt Kelly's like OG favorite place. Like she goes there every Sunday with her and her friends, like that like age group, you know.
They pour great.
They do. Well, that's where like all industry people go is Bamboo a lot of times. Like if you ask around town, like that's where people go when they are getting off work or on Sunday before they go into work.
I feel like
that's what I love about like Richmond, like all the OG spots, they pour so heavy and they're generous, right? And then after one drink, you literally, in your brain, you're like, okay, after further review, the runner is safe at first, touchdown Celtics. And you're like, huh?
I know, right?
I just wanted one, man. Wow, I had 10.
You're like, I don't actually remember where I am right now.
They do it on purpose.
A weird question and kind of funny. What is the best way to piss off a bartender, other than not tipping well?
Although not tipping well, usually, like, obviously, phrases like, what's your real job? Let's see. Just like, you know, can you make it stronger? No ice. You know, can I get a triple? Even though in Richmond, you're only...
I have a vodka Tito's?
Yeah, can I get a vodka Tito's? No, see, that's funny to me because I'm like, oh, I'm going to cut you off. But like,
I remember back in the day, though, like when mojitos first became really popular, like that was a way to piss someone off because that was like deemed labor intensive. But I'm also like, if you think something is labor intensive, don't put it on the menu.
Or how about Long Island iced tea? How much do you hate that one?
So I actually don't. So believe it or not, and I'm with you on the mojito too. So the mojito thing, if you are a bartender, if you're at a dive bar, sure, that like.
Oh, well,
I will never order an old fashioned at Sidewalk or Buddies.
Obviously,
or Bamboo.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
people do. And like those type of bartenders, they have every right to be pissed off. Like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? I don't have bitters here. Like, for a good reason. That's why I wanted to open up like Smoke and Barrel because I actually enjoy making craft cocktails.
Right.
Certain bartenders fucking hate it and they have every right to. But back with the Long Islands. So most of Long Island. Or oh, on our like rail. No, they're all like on our rail.
Oh, yeah.
So like I can like do that, pick it up and look
really
at, like I'm flare.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
I can
yeah.
like sour mix shake, topless Coke. It's easy. People are like, there's really no tea in Long Island.
Oh my God, his mom.
We have the funniest story.
Go ahead, babe.
So my mom, she used to love Long Island iced teas, and she thought it was just basically an alcoholic iced tea.
She was like a teetotaler, though. That's so cute. Literally. That no is, pun intended.
That is cute.
She like thought that. She was having like a little like low alcohol thing, and we're like, that has like
that's four an ice pick, sweetie.
We were like, Mom, you're going hardcore right now.
She's no, honey, it's cool.
Long Island iced tea. That's
and
sweet.
He told me that his parents didn't drink before I met them, and he played it up like it was so religious. I thought I was gonna like have to genuflect when I went in the door and like anoint myself with holy water or some shit, and they were like, Long Island iced tea.
That's my favorite drink.
Oh my God.
She said, welcome to the family, hon.
Exactly. Any upcoming events or something cool? Like, what do you want to hype up about Smoking Bear?
So, obviously, like, the first month, you got to figure out the kinks with any new restaurant, whether right. it's ours or anybody else's. We are going to start programming it. It's going to be, I believe, Thursday is going to be trivia night. We're going to do karaoke night. For Saturday, something different,
nice.
Unique.
Yeah.
And we're going to do steak night on Sunday.
Ooh.
And smash burger Monday.
Oh, shit.
And then, we're starting to finally get to our specials. And so we're going to do like ribs. We're going to start doing oysters.
Oh,
and,
shit.
Mac,
you're
and,
talking about
mac and cheese is
oh,
coming.
Oh, my
the
God.
The food is
I'm
freaking
so hungry.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's so good.
We want it to be really unique, but still, like, you don't have to look it up on Google what it is. Like, okay. the smoked duck tastes like steak, in my opinion. Mm. It's so fire.
I saw it twice. It's very popular there because everyone kept getting it. I wanted to get it so bad, but I came for appetizers.
Oh, yeah.
But I will come for dinner.
Smoked wings are fire. Pretty much, like, all of our food, not just because I'm the owner / bartender, but, like, dude, all of our food's really solid because Andy cares, just like I do with bartending. Andy's in the kitchen. And, you know, he gives 100% every time. And Joe and Jordan, they travel a lot. So, obviously, they know what they like. And we told Andy, like, hey, we wrote this menu. Make it yours. And Andy was like, okay, so this is going to be my home. You're giving me freedom. We're like, yes, please, please, please. Because he can plate the living shit out of food. To make you want to, obviously.
And it was beautiful, too.
Instagram
like, yeah, it was
first,
Instagram
right?
Words.
Or whatever you call it. You know.
It was so, like, artistic, and it tasted fantastic. And it was a big portion, and it was, like, very reasonably priced.
So we don't want anything over $30. I think the highest thing we have is the duck for $29. But our market fish even is $25. It's so much food. And, you
big
know.
Portions. Even the appetizers, big portions.
Well, everything, I'm like, God, that sounds good with an old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about more about what I got, but that's later in the episode.
Anything else you want us to know about Smoke and Barrel, or give us your social media so we can follow you? Like,
So my social media is pretty much Kevin Sheffield. Switch out the S and K, so it's Seven Sheffield.
Oh,
because somebody out there has got Kevin Sheffield. I don't know who that imposter is, but no, like,
damn them.
Yeah. But just, you know. Give us a follow on smokingbarrel_RVA, and we're happy. Like, I could care less about me. It's all for the restaurant and for the community, and especially the fan, and bringing it back after the pandemic.
Love it.
Yep.
Awesome.
Love it too.
Want more date night spots, happy hour, but we are programming it because we're like, you know what? Late night deserves something in the fan as well, because that kind of like lost a lot.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's hard to find something to eat in the fan in late night.
And we have late night menu,
like,
too.
Sticky rice is the only place.
Yeah, for karaoke. Yeah. And of course, City Beach has their own like little vibe going on. Yeah. But besides Sidewalk, you can't find like any food, really.
And this place is more kind of low-key. It's not like Sticky Rice where it's like you cannot freaking find a place to stand sometimes. Like, this place is
unless
like
you go for second brunch
more like
in the middle of
relaxed,
the day.
It's like relaxed, casual, but like date night classy. It's like the perfect blend of all of that.
Yeah, that's why I still wear a hat. I'm not bald, I promise. I have a full
You're cat,
head of
hat
hair.
Fishing.
I know, I'm hat fishing, right?
You just really love hats.
I love hats, man. VCU, Flying Squirrels, you'll catch me all the time. That's the running joke. I'm the mascot. I'm nutsy. Or I played shortstop. I don't know. But it's been fun because when people come in, you see so many different groups, and it's so diverse. That's what I love about Richmond in general.
Same.
So you can see somebody that's like a local celebrity like Kurt Autry. He came to see me. That's my buddy. Shout out to him, and thank you for the shout out.
Yeah, Kurt.
And Richmond Times Dispatch, my friends there, they came out, Style Weekly. Shout out to everybody that's come out. I can't thank them enough. And that's what helps, I think, Richmond grow, is all of every like outlet kind of getting along.
Yeah, the connectivity.
Oh my God, Miscellaneous has been hyping y'all up a lot. I love her.
I should have never forget about her. She's awesome, yeah, man.
We love her.
We had her on the pod.
Friend of show.
One of my few spiders that I love. No, I'm kidding. I'm actually friends with a lot of like football guys from U of R.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
And she was a cheerleader. So
yep.
Perhaps we can get you some tickets. My dad is. So I'm the black sheep because I went to VCU.
Nice.
Literally, my mom, my dad, and my stepdad, my aunt, they all went to U of R. So when Elaine was on, we were talking about that. And we run into her, I think, tailgating.
We run into her all the time.
But
so are you from Pennsylvania or New Jersey? Where are you from?
No, I'm kidding. That's my like dad's old enough where it was... Virginians,
yeah.
But yes. Well, thank you very much, Kevin, yeah. But feel free to jump in on the rest of this. I believe we gotta move on.
Now a word from our sponsor. Check out Maya's Belly Dancing, located at 10049 Midlothian Turnpike, Suite H. She offers an array of classes for all levels of experience, from beginner to advanced. You can find the class schedule at mayasbellydancing.com. And be sure to follow her on Instagram and Facebook as well at Maya's Belly Dancing.
Big Daddy, are you gonna drop it on us?
Yeah, so guys, today I'm gonna talk about some fun facts about opossums. And why am I gonna talk about opossums?
I don't know.
It's because it's one of Richmond's favorite unofficial mascots.
Ooh.
The furry marsupial can be found at night rummaging through garbage cans or scavenging through backyards.
That's just me.
And what are you doing in our backyard?
Oh my God, I found one in the walk-in in Charleston one time at Coconut Joe's. I freaked the fuck out.
Scary. All right,
they're
so
not scary.
The opossum is native to North America and lives in southern Canada all the way down to Central America.
Mm-hmm.
Early settlers first encountered it in Virginia, and that's why it's called the Virginia opossum, even though it's all over North America.
They're so sweet.
And opossum is a word which comes from Algonquian, and I might mess this up, Wapafamwa, meaning white animal. So
is
it's,
that Native American?
It's
sounds
a,
like it.
Yeah, it's Native American.
It's a dialect.
The opossum was once a favorite game animal in the U.S. of early settlers. Some describe it as a similar to dark meat poultry, while others find it less palatable. The opossum is the only living marsupial native to the northern hemisphere, and that's the whole world. So that includes Europe, Asia.
Oh.
Yeah,
we don't got no duck-billed platypuses over here, I guess.
The average lifespan of an opossum in the wild is only about 1 to 2 years, and they are surprisingly good at surviving harsh condition and evading predators.
They eat ticks.
Yes, they do. They have an appetite for insects, including ticks. A single opossum can consume thousands of ticks in a season, helping us control tick populations and the diseases they carry. They have a diverse diet of insects, fruits, carrion, and even small vertebrates. And
they're not dangerous. Like,
no, actually, they're not harmful to
humans. They're really sweet.
Yeah. They have a surprisingly low body temperature compared to other mammals. This unique trait might contribute to their remarkable resistance to rabies.
Me and Matt know.
Y'all are weak.
When threatened, opossums might hiss, bare their teeth, and even emit a foul-smelling liquid as a defense mechanism. And yes, they do fake dead in front of predators.
You can pick them up and carry them because they don't have rabies.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You could put it in.
But if they jump at you in a walk-in,
they
you
won't.
Might
they'll
fucking
fake
lose
dead.
Your shit.
They're so scared.
No,
of
I
you.
Saw them crawling.
They're so cute. I love them.
These displays are meant to warn predators and discourage them from attacking. And the City of Richmond Office of Elections held the first I Voted sticker competition. The declared winner was an image of an opossum filling out the ballot.
I voted. Didn't vote for that one.
And as of July 2023, it's illegal to own a Virginia opossum in Richmond, with some exceptions, and I'm not too sure
Wait,
what those
it's
are.
Illegal or legal?
It's illegal. Oh, okay.
I'm gonna go get one.
Yeah. So that concludes your knowledge drop.
Oh my god!
From
so
Big Daddy.
So much smarter now. Oh my god. All right, let's bring it up to some events. Olivia, you got some upcoming events?
I do.
Tell me about it.
Here we go. Okay, so Friday next, well, I don't know, is it next week? May 24th?
Yeah.
So Friday, May 24th at 7 at Gallery 5, they have Fourth Friday's Jazz Nights. So there'll be a jazz band. I'm not sure which one, but there will be a jazz band. That sounds like fun to me. And these are all events that I will go to, you guys. Saturday, May 25th, goat yoga and wine tasting.
I want to do that one.
At Pactamere Farm in Glen Allen. Tickets are $55.
Okay, I don't
want
to
that's a lot.
Do I get the goat to take home?
Yeah, you get a goat. You get an opossum.
You get a goat.
No, you don't. On Saturday, May 25th, again, at Chateau Marilyn Winery in Orange, Virginia, they're doing a Cousin Maine Lobster Night.
Lobster.
From 11 to 5. You can order ahead on the Cousin's Maine Lobster app and set Virginia as your location. You can order ahead or just go and get some lobster. On May 26th, there is an 80s dance party at Fallout at 8 p.m.
Also on the 26th, Juan's Cantina is having a Memorial Day weekend day party. They bring in sexy Beck, you know, up on top of the roof. You can actually get tickets ahead of time or just go there and see what the hell happens.
Hell yeah. On Friday, May 31st, if you like Fleetwood Mac, there's...
I do.
Okay, good. Well, there's a cover band called Crystal Visions, who I've seen before, who are very good. They're playing at Sloop John B.
Good rooftop.
Also, if we rewind it back a little bit, on Monday, May 27th, on Memorial Day, there's the Daydream Festival at Mainline Brewery. So there's going to be 9 bands, artists and vendors. I know that's a lot. Food vendors and everything, Mainline and Cirrus. Get an advance ticket now, starting at $30, $40 at the door.
Hell yeah.
It sounds like a good time, 9 bands.
Oh, that's a lot.
This sounds like a lot of fun to me. On Monday, June 10th, the Drive-By Truckers, it's a band, they're playing at the Botanical Garden.
I've heard of them. Mm-hmm.
Southern Rock Opera.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
We should love to do that for my birthday. And then, of course, the Leg Warmers on Friday, June 21st at the National.
Yeah, baby. Get your tickets now.
The end.
All right, moving on. Why don't you tell us about your restaurant of the week, Big Chef?
I wonder what it could be.
What is it?
My restaurant of the week is Smoke and Barrel.
Yay!
I finally checked them out, like I said, on Monday. It has, like we've talked about in this episode, it has a high-end speakeasy vibe with an incredible happy hour and food menu. You can get high-end old-fashions, martinis, Negronis, Palomas, margaritas, and a lot more for only $7. And they have like beer specials.
$7.
Wine. That's good.
That's really good. That's unheard of.
Yeah. Usually a craft cocktail is, what, $15 or
$12? Those are pre-going to hell America prices.
And I got, when I was there, I've never had a Paloma before, so I tried one, and it reminded me of Liz, because we love tequila, but not too sweet, so it was perfect.
That's Liz's dad's favorite drink, or one of them.
It's genetically predisposed in me to like tequila.
And then I also got the martini, very good. Oh, and I don't remember our bartender's name, but she was a blonde, beautiful girl. And I loved her. She was wonderful.
What night?
It was Monday.
Shout out Katie or Ellie.
I think it was Katie. I think that was her name. And then also, like I said, I've never seen prices that good for a happy hour with those craft cocktails, guys. They also have a great happy hour food menu and a robust, delicious dinner menu. And like I said, those prices are under $30. Like everything, there's nothing over $30. I tried the steak egg rolls and the empanadas, huge portions, great price. They also had this duck dinner that I'm going to get next time and steak.
Ooh.
So
which, yep.
This place is great. Kevin, you're doing well. Like, this place is freaking amazing.
We tried.
I know. I can't wait until Sunday.
You're going to love it.
I am talking about Tito's Taqueria at 733 West Carey Street. We went last Friday.
Yeah.
And we were drawn in by their Instagram. They had some crazy looking cocktails on there.
Like a bathtub?
I was actually kind of pissed though, because there's one drink that they serve in a bathtub with a rubber ducky, and the table behind us ordered all the bathtubs. Like, what's up with that?
We couldn't get the bathtub drink.
How many bathtubs did they order?
I guess it was like 10 or something. Like it was 10. A big table. Yeah. But yeah, they need to order more bathtubs, because most of us just wanted a bathtub.
I got the birdcage.
Post on Insta. Yes, I know. What was that called? It was like the Texicana or something.
Yeah, Texicana.
That was pretty good. But if I were ordering, and if you want to copy me, I would get the I'd get the sampler. You know, your typical guac, cheese dip, salsa trio, but also get the flaming hot crazy corn. Oh my god, I got that. It was good. It's rolled in flaming hot Cheetos, and it's like,
it was really good.
You know, it's the Mexican street corn with the butter or mayonnaise, yada yada.
Didn't we get the same entree?
We did. We got the birria tacos, which I also recommend. I would get the beef, not the chicken. I think the beef just soaks up the liquid better. And then, if you're still hungry, maybe get the spicy mango margarita.
Or
and drink that as a meal.
The hot Cheetos burrito that I really wanted to get.
Oh my God, I know. We really wanted to get that. We should split that next time. Anything that says flaming hot, I'm down for.
Same. That's why we have a cocktail called the Pineapple Express.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. I didn't see that one.
So good. And then the after kick is just fresh jalapenos.
Oh, my God. I want that in my mouth now.
Is that a tequila drink? Vodka base. But vodka. You wouldn't know. Like, that's the thing we wanted to do. Like, a lot of our bourbon drinks, like, what is it? The Americano that we came up with is like espresso martini, but it's with vanilla bourbon.
And, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And we have a painkiller. And, you know, usually painkillers are rum.
Yeah, they're rum based. Yes.
That's my favorite drink of all time.
That's, we have a banana infused.
Ooh, oh, my God. Banana is my favorite fruit.
So
oh,
good.
My God. All right. Yep, we are going on Sunday, regardless of everything.
I'll come with you on trial.
Oh, too. Yeah. Come with us.
Just
definitely.
To see if my staff is doing it right.
Ooh, la la crew.
We're doing R&D. Can we write this off as a tax write-off, honey?
No, we can't.
God damn it. All right. Anyway, moving on to a band of the week, Almost Gone. They're a high-energy pop-punk 90s and 2000 band. They play covers, but they also play their own stuff. They play iconic hits.
They're all hot.
Yes, so from the groups such as Blink-182...
Nickelback.
Why are they called Almost Gone?
Because they're almost gone.
They're almost gone.
I mean, we're almost past those times. Third Eye Blind, Good Charlotte, many more. They bonded together, they banded together, not bonded, but maybe both. In 2019, we saw them last weekend.
At River City Roll.
Yes, tell us about it.
Okay, what made me go crazy is I'm a huge Blink fan. I have a picture of them on my childhood bedroom ceiling still. It's still taped up there. But anyway, they played Josie, which I've never heard anyone play live in my entire life, and I couldn't believe they picked that song. So I immediately was like, Liz, get my drink. I'm going to the dance floor. And I danced my ass off to Josie. The only person on the dance floor at that point. But then everyone joined.
They played a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
What did they play next?
They played Nirvana next. And I don't remember which one. Something about a gun.
They played...
Rape Me.
No. That was your song.
They played... not Bare Naked Ladies. What?
It might have been in... yeah.
Oh, Weezer. They played some Weezer that was good. All right, well, let's give some shout-outs, peeps.
All right, I do have one shout-out that we did not talk about at all.
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday I went to a pottery class randomly with my friend Jessica. Shout-out to
so
Jessica.
Cool.
It was really fun. I've never done it before. And I'm an art student. I was. So shout-out to Hand Thrown. It's a pottery studio off of Brooklyn Park Ave. And shout out to Hamani, the instructor. He was amazing. Great job.
Nice. Shout out to Smoking Barrel.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all, too. Aw, thank you for having me, guys. Yeah, appreciate y'all. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. This is an honor to have you on because this is like the... To be on, like, in my opinion, like the best upcoming bar right now in Richmond.
Thank you, guys. That means the world to all of us. Thank you so much.
Yep. We're excited.
Trying to make y'all
And
proud.
Also, you're voted number one bartender for so long. It's an honor to have you.
I know. You've won many awards. We have to come. I'm washed you have to up. Come back on. We'll follow up because we haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, maybe we could do this podcast at Applebee's Mechanics.
Oh, my God. That would actually be amazing.
I think that'd be fun. Yeah.
That would be.
And we do eventually want to have like a big party with all the guests that we've had on.
Yeah, I think absolutely. That'd be really fun. That'd be very
fun. All right, before we go, shout out to The Park, Juan's Cantina, Tito's Taqueria, Chateau Marilyn, The Fan in general, Pactamere Farm.
All right, so I've got a shout out, and this is a new concept. It's called Mugshot, and it's a coffee shop, which will open in Midlothian in early August. This is a new concept shop that combines coffee with portrait taking. And so they, you know, they want to do like the old timey portraits. They can do glamour shots.
Oh my God,
shots,
old timey portraits. Uh-huh. I love that shit.
And
sorry,
so,
every summer at the shore. We would do old-timey portraits.
Oh, I did that once at the shore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my shout-out.
Thanks, Matt. And also, you guys, don't forget to follow us, and don't forget to follow Smoking Barrel. We'll link everything up in the show notes. Follow us on Instagram. Tell us what you did or didn't like about the podcast in general or this episode. Tell us. We want to know.
That's
how can
right.
we make it better? What do you want?
And next time, we have more food and bev coming your way. It's pretty cool. Michael Sparks, owner and chef at the Underground Kitchen in Manchester, will be on. So shout out to him.
I'm excited about that.
I'm very excited about that. Our friend Ashley hooked us up. So should be fun.
Woo-hoo.
A nice Manchester place. Like, y'all can cross that river.
You can do it. Thanks, Kevin.
All right,
thank
Kevin.
You guys so much.
Thank you so much
Thanks
for coming.
Being on the show.
Y'all
Let's go Rams.
Let's
what?
Go Rams.
Let's go Rams.
All right.
Let's go Smoking Bear.
All right.
Peace.
All right,
see you
bye,
next
guys.
Time.
Love you, everyone.
Ciao.